listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. Continuing my conversation with Anton Galwitzer, who has suggested that, through his research, that people with ASD traits seem to be able to analyze how people in general will react in social situations, even if they have difficulties judging the mental states of individuals. So that dichotomy between individual understanding as opposed to group understanding. Welcome back, Anton.
Thanks for having me.
So the conversation continues. So let's talk a little bit about that difference and what the implications of having maybe a stronger skill set, if you will, or a skill ability in being able to perceive the outcomes socially for large groups or collectively rather than individually. What does that mean? And let's also talk a little bit about what might be underscoring those findings. I mean, I have some thoughts, but I really want to hear from you first. What are the implications of this?
So let's try to differentiate between the individual level judgments and the
yes.
general judgments first, as you said. I think one example would be, so let's say you see somebody who seems happy, right? Mm-hmm. And they're surrounded by similar others, and you see them happy because, you see their facial body language, auditory cues, and you understand that they're currently happy. That's very different from predicting the social phenomenon that people tend to be happy when they're around mm-hmm. similar other people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So there's this dichotomy between these individual level judgments and these more general judgments about our social psychology,
mm-hmm.
As you were saying. And that difference is pretty exciting for us to study, because up until now, there hasn't been really a way to test people's accuracy at the latter judgments, these more general social judgments. And that's what that social psychology quiz that we were talking about earlier allows us to do. Which is really neat.
I agree. I mean, would you hypothesize, if that's the right way of framing this, that part of this may be pulling for like different skills? So what do I mean by that? If you're able to, with greater accuracy, understand the outcomes of larger collective social behavior, that really seems to be pulling for very strong analytical skills and also kind of an objective distancing from what may or may not be happening on the micro level, on the individual level, for the many people that are in that group. That's really different, isn't it, than predicting the outcome of a single individual maybe during a period of crisis in a social situation. It seems to be pulling for different skills.
Yeah, that's completely correct. So the way we frame it is, we say there's these two different types of, let's call them social cognitive skills. One that is like individual level, has a more automatic nature to it, and one that's more reflective, more general, more kind of above the clouds kind of way of thinking of it. And these two types differ, and it turns out that differentiation relates differently to ASD traits.
Well, is it possible that part of that ability, that increased ability in one area, comes from some of the challenges in the other? So meaning that, as in a traditional conception of autism, where there really might be some difficulty around, facial recognition and certain nonverbal social cues, potentially, or idioms, that kind of thing. If that's really in play, and then one of the workarounds for that is to rely more on that analytical part of your brain, so maybe I'm not getting this facial expression
right.
exactly right, but I can see how over time this has, what the results have been in large groups of people. It's almost a shift in the emphasis of your mental energy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this kind of idea of a compensation account, where maybe difficulties in one area lead to talents in another, mm-hmm. I think makes a lot of sense in this situation. So there's actually a quote that I remember from somebody who was clinically diagnosed with autism, who mentioned that, when you try to understand other individuals, you do it automatically, and I do it intellectually.
Very, very nice.
Maybe it's the idea here that there's this greater understanding of social psychology and of humans more generally, and then that knowledge and understanding is then applied to try and help on the individual level.
I think that's very helpful. And in one of the chapters of your article, it's titled "Person Perception versus People Perception," and right. I think that kind of pulls for some of the same kind of thinking. And there's a quote from I believe it's Williams and Barge, 2008, that also caught my attention. Very straightforward. You know, social psychological skill is not the only construct that qualities as judgments about people in general. I think that's very helpful. Judgment about majority preferences fall under this category as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think you would probably. I think that's what this is pulling for. So this really sheds light in a couple of areas, I suspect. You know, most importantly, that in terms of what this particular skill set can do, it strikes me at this early juncture that has real applications for where people, either on the spectrum or not, but who have these traits, might best use their talents. So potentially, Anton, you can tell me if I'm even on the right track here, but potentially people who strong favorably in this area, wouldn't there be a world of opportunity in industrial psychology?
Yeah, so I think so. I think you're definitely on the right track. In terms of, you know, talents, in terms of management, in terms of leadership, in terms of maybe understanding where societal trends go in the future, or in terms of industrial and organizational psychology, where certain teams or groups of people will move, it does seem to be the case. You could argue from the results that we found that people with AS are more likely to be talented at coming up with these answers.
Well, let's talk about that just for a moment. I guess where I have a little bit of hesitation, I mean, I have no hesitation, because that's why I introduced it, because there's so much that has to occur effectively in organizational psychology, particularly around efficiency. But in the area of management and leadership, I'm going to throw out there that I think you kind of need both skill sets. I mean, to be effective there, you have to have that real, you have to have both the person and the people perception, the individual and the group. I can't imagine being a really strong leader without sharp tools around empathy and nonverbal judgment, rather inferences. So I think that's going to need both. But that doesn't mean I'm not discounting anything here.
Right.
But I just see that this particular finding weighing in more around efficiencies.
I think that's true. I mean, ideally, if you have both, I assume that would probably be the best for these kind of positions. At the same time, though, I mean, in a position, but there's a difference between the leader and, like, the face, right? There's
yes.
the person
oh,
in the
absolutely.
Background
absolutely.
Who can really, you know, who understands how these systems work, who understands how groups work, and then there's the face that is, you know, the more social, maybe, you know, extroverted individual with charisma, and you know, I'm thinking at the moment about the person in the back, the person who's really figuring out how the model works, how our social lives work, and how these groups work, and therefore is an actively a good leader in these situations.
I agree. I think this study is especially compelling given the subject pool, which was cross-cultural and international, and included
right.
such a large group of people.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts for going forward? What's on the horizon? Now we've done this. We've got some really interesting literature on this right now through your good work. Where does this go?
So I think one super interesting question to look at is kind of how can this help us inform potential interventions, right? Potential ways to help people with autism spectrum to, you know, act in social situations and to understand social situations.
Hmm.
So if there are ways of automatizing these more general judgments down to an individual level, then I think that would be really effective. There's something known as implementation intentions, or kind of these if-then
yes.
plans
yes.
that lead conscious, you know, reflective things to become internalized automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so potentially one could then apply such strategies to make this more general understanding automatic, which could then be used on an individual level, which I think could have some really, really interesting and beneficial results, and that would be something to definitely look at.
Oh, I completely agree. I would also submit that even if that proved to be a little too far-reaching, that you couldn't work back to that individual understanding,
right,
I still feel that this has enough promise in the way of just helping people both on the spectrum and not to choose career paths, professional paths, life paths that really play to their talents and strengths, both socially and culturally. Again, your sample is so strong that I think this offers the promise for a lot of people on the spectrum and not to use this information. So I got to tell you thank you. Thank you for making this time. Thank you for a really, really good study. My guest is Anton Galwitzer. He's looked into autism spectrum traits and how they predict higher social psychological skills. You know, a great discussion. I want you to know I'm wishing you the best and certainly continued research. Please come back, and Anton, please keep us posted. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.